When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Swung on.
There it goes. Deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Number 62 to set the new American League record.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Yeah! 304, McMonagle here with you. All right, Marco just told me something interesting. We'll get to it in a little bit. I'll tease it up a little bit. Apparently, you know, Marco is the sound king around here because nobody else is, really. He begrudgingly is the sound king. And just ask him. He'll let you know. So he goes through all the sound. He helps Jerry with the sound in the morning show. A lot of the clips you hear Jerry play in the morning that get you laughing, that Gio and Jerry and Boomer banter back and forth with and create such a fun atmosphere all morning long from 6 to 10. A lot of it is put in the system by that man, Marco Belletti. And he just told me that some interesting audio from Tyrese Halliburton after the postgame sound, after beating Milwaukee 125-108, has to be heard that he has two different voices. I don't know what that means.
I have heard it. I can confirm whenever you get to it. It's worth sticking around if you're listening right now. It is insane.
He has two the different voices. I got to hear this. I want to know what that means. He sounds completely different. We got to do it. I don't know. We'll get to it. The two voices, Tyrese Halliburton. Now, I remember when I went to see CSB, I did a commercial. You have to do like commercials. And that's Connecticut School of Broadcasting, by the way. So we would do these. We had to do a commercial, and we were given like a newspaper article of a company, and with all the different information on it, and we had to make a radio 30-second radio spot. And I got like a Frank something pianos. Like I got like a piano store, grand piano. So I did this commercial about moving guys, piano movers. I don't know, and how many pianos they've moved lately because of the sales at Frank's piano store or whatever. I don't know. And I went back and forth doing two different voices at the same time, and I mislabeled the audio or I saved it the wrong place, and I couldn't find it the day I was supposed to hand it in, and I had to like record it right then and there and do it all over just real quick before the end of the class, and they gave me like 10 minutes to do it or whatever. And I did it in front of a couple of kids, and they were all impressed that I didn't record one and then record the other. I went back and forth with the two different voices. Now, I did that on purpose, and I'm not saying that's impressive or everything, but like three kids from CSB were rather impressed. Rather impressed that I could have a conversation with myself and sound like two different people. And then I got married, and I realized, whew, that was child's play. 877-337-6666. Jerry in South Hackensack. What's up, Jerry?
Hey, Chris. Thanks for taking the call.
Oh, Appreciate it. For making it. What's going on?
Big boy win by the Rangers. Did what we had to do.
Yep.
Jump out 2-0. Loved Spieker's play last night. He was all over the ice.
Yes, he was great. He was great with the puck, without the puck. And then that shorthanded goal, the passing between the two of that, him and Kreider, and then back to Miller was incredible. It was really pretty.
Great play. And what I'm really looking to see now is our Laviolette's predecessor head coach, two straight series where we coughed up 2-0 leads. And I'm hoping Laviolette teaches these guys, okay, foot on neck, squeeze.
Yes.
Don't let them breathe. Don't let them think that they have a chance in this series.
Right.
Because quite frankly, we dominated the series so far.
No doubt.
Again, I saw that movie last year, games 1 and 2, against the Devils.
Yeah.
So put on pedal.
Yeah. And if you remember, I thought, a lot of people disagreed with me. I remember getting into a lot of Twitter wars. But I thought, if you remember, it was a close game. I thought they had the better play in game 3 and just lost it. And I was like, you know what? I still feel pretty good. I thought they played better than the Devils, even in a loss. And then that's how quickly it changed. And then clearly the Devils took control of the series. But I mean, even if you lose a tight one, like don't let up. You got to make sure you go out there and take game three and put your. I agree with you. They need to. It's imperative that they get through this series quickly.
I think so. I mean, you're staring at a 7-game series with Carolina, who may be your biggest threat to get to where you want to go.
Yeah, I don't think
they're the odds-on favorite.
I know.
They're the odds-on favorite to win the Stanley Cup, even though we finished in front of them. So, yeah, you got to get out of this series quickly. I think Lavalette, I've already seen the difference all throughout this year, what a coach can do. And I like Gallant, don't get me wrong, but just to see what they did. And you were talking about game three last year. We got way too cute in that game. Way too cute, too many passes. This is one where I love the fact we're shooting the puck. Just keep shooting the puck on net. Good things happen when you do that.
Yep.
And real quick on the Knicks, get a split in Philly. That's all we need.
Oh, absolutely.
Get yourself a split. End this thing in five. I'd like, because we haven't really played our best basketball yet.
Not at all.
No, and you come away with two wins and then a probable win. We probably should have lost that game, game two, but you know what? It's a W. I don't care how you get it.
Of course.
Doesn't matter.
I understand.
W's are W's.
No doubt about it, and thank you for the call, Jerry. I completely agree. Clearly, W's are W's, and I'm not apologizing for anything. But that doesn't. Now that we're a day away from it, right? Now that we're a full day away from it, you have to at least, start to turn the page and project how they're going to do moving forward. I'm not apologizing for anything, and how they won that game was spectacular. And the idea that they've won these two games without playing their best, I'm still viewing in a positive light, a major positive light, that they were able to have these two games not play their best and still win is a positive. But that doesn't change the fact that it's hard to do, and they pulled out a miracle win to get the second one, and I'd rather them play their best brand of basketball and have which would give them a better chance to win the game. And that includes Brunson being far better. So they've got to figure out a way, and he's got to figure out a way to be better. And I don't think that's negative. I don't think that's, trying to limit the excitement. I think it's just honest. Watching these games, yes, it's great. Yes, I'm pumped. Yes, I feel like how the 76ers going to win this series if they can't beat them when they've played like this, when the two best players on the court have been Maxey and Embiid? How do they expect to continue to win this series when you figure or try and get back into the series when you figure the Knicks are clearly going to play better? But that still has to happen. Like that positive tone that we're all taking. And I know if Sal's given a negative one, we're all mad. Anyone has anything other to say than oh, great, grand, wonderful, we all get pissed off. And I understand why, because it is great, grand, wonderful. But the great, grand, wonderful implies that they will play better moving forward. Otherwise, we all know that game was a bit of a miracle. And whether, I don't know if you believe in such things, but the ESPN or whatever company gives that percentage of win at any given point in the game, after that foul shot that gave them a five, after the Lowry foul shot that gave them a 5-point lead with 47 seconds left, the Knicks had a 4% chance of victory, a 4%. They're supposed to lose that game 96 times out of 100. It's a bit of a miracle. They're going to have to play better to get through this series. But I fully expect it. I fully expect it. I don't think this team is going to allow it. And you're right, 100%. No one's looking. You'd love a sweep. Go get one. I think if it's game three, you could be looking at a sweep, because I think you have a chance to mentally break Philadelphia. I think a game three loss probably mentally breaks the Sixers. I think that's how volatile it is there. I think that's how open they are to being mentally broken. And if they win, they get back in the series, and then it's a hard-fought game four to make sure you don't come back to the Garden Tide. So, yeah, game three is just as important as any other game. Go out there and win it. Secure yourself a 3-1 lead at the very least coming back home. And take this series from this team that is a bunch of whiners, complainers, and mentally soft. Let's go. Val in the Bronx. What's up, Val?
Brother Mac, what's going on this one? How you doing?
Good, buddy. How are you?
I'm all right. Yeah, I want to talk some Knicks with you, but real quick, that stuff that you said about Brady, I could not have put it better myself.
Yeah.
And you know what it is? The fact is, I feel bad saying this because I fall in the minority in this group, but if you look at the collective that all fans, everybody did that where they made that conversation exactly into what it is today. The way you said it is perfect. He's been elevated like that. But what is the cliche that you hear everybody ask when they start talking about somebody as far as a player in any major professional sport? How many championships has he won?
Right.
And the fact that he's won so many has elevated him in that conversation. And I agree with you. When you get to the GOATs, it kind of feels sometimes like it's kind of dirty a little bit because he does sometimes feel as great as he is, that he is the lesser of some of the great ones that are out there. So it is kind of hard to really kind of quantify it. I love the way that you put that.
Yeah, I mean, he's the greatest winner. And for me, going away, leaving the Patriots, getting away from Bill Belichick and winning the Super Bowl his first season, beating Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes along the way. I mean, now I think that cements it that he's the greatest of all time. I don't know how you argue it, but I'll just say that for my money, he is the least talented greatest of all time in any professional sport. That's all.
It's a perfect way to put it.
It's hard to say he's not. And he's certainly the greatest winner. I mean, he makes the plays. He's the greatest winner. But on a week-to-week, Sunday-to-Sunday basis, I have seen better quarterbacks.
You're perfectly right. The one thing I disagree with you about, though, is I'm actually, objectively speaking, and I hate to say it, actually burns my heart to say this because I'm a Jets fan. But objectively speaking, I actually do look forward to hearing his analysis when the season starts up. Because, you know, that QB look, that QB view, and for everything that he was, he is cerebral. So the game, I'm really interested to hear how he sees the game and how he interprets what he's looking at.
I see now. But, I don't know how interested I am necessarily, but I will say I do expect him to be good at it. I do.
I think he will.
I think he's obviously a football savant. There's no You can't win the way he's won. Work as hard as he's worked. Understand, you know, the game the way he understands it without being a football savant. So we'll see if he's good at, because there's no doubt it's in his head, and we'll see how good he is at translating it from his head to us. That, because that's a skill, and we'll see if he has that skill. But if he does, yeah, I have no doubt he's going to be excellent at it. I think he's got a very good chance to be a great broadcaster. But doesn't mean I still don't love him.
No. I'm the same sentiment.
Yeah.
But to get to the Knicks now, and again, you spot on. The little bit that you just said just now is absolutely perfect for what I'm about to get into, because I'm going to alleviate all Knicks fans right now when it comes to Brunson. But what you said right there is very much factual. In the playoffs right now, you're seeing the same opponent all the time. So it's different from the regular season. And people get a chance. It doesn't. And this window that we're in right now is different from what happened from game one to game two, because it happens faster right there. You get a chance to actually play against your opposition. You're seeing what they're trying to do to stop you. You see the things that you have to do to stop them, and you get a chance to actually work on it. And it's the same person that you're seeing the next night. It's not like anything is changing where you're getting up on a plane and going someplace else. But that being said, I'm going to alleviate everybody with that Brunson. I'm almost like on and without the head dropped and looking at my afro like Embiid did when he gave his press conference.
Yeah.
I'm almost guaranteeing that Brunson is going to have a big game come game three. Because, and I'm saying this not like, you know, to get ludicrous or to get crazy or anything like that, but in the same vein that I just said what I just said about the adjustments, that's what's happening right now. He has time now, and this window between game two and game three is bigger because they got to travel. They got time to themselves. Him between the part of the coaching staff that is his father even. They're both all sitting down watching film and trying to figure out exactly what they did to stop him, because he was kind of like, I hate to say it, you know, with the seeing ghost thing, but one minute they're throwing the single up on him with Oubre, the next minute they're throwing a double. When he thinks the double is coming, it's just Oubre. When they think it's just Oubre, it's a double. They're sitting down right now and they're watching film and they're seeing what they did to them, and they're trying to figure out. He's working on every single move, every single shot that he missed. he's working on and trying to make sure that, you know, and even trying to anticipate and kind of like try to simulate the kind of defense that they were playing on him just so that when it comes back again in game three, it's not going to be the same thing. So I almost, and like I said, guaranteeing that he's going to have a big game in game three. If anybody looking for that in the parlay, that's a good thing, a good number, whatever that is, as far as points or whatever it is they throw at him, that's a good number to play because he's going to have a good game.
I hope and so. I hope so, Val. I thought he was going to have a big game, too. It didn't happen, so we'll see.
You know, and then the only other thing, like I said, you know, the previous caller, I said it to you last night, you know, you can't get greedy right now. If you get the game three, of course, then you get greedy. But right now, before that happens, we're just looking to get one of the next two games and bring it back home with a, like, you know, saying that we could hopefully get that in five. But right now, that's all you're looking at, trying to get one of the next two games. We just hopefully, said, because we're going on the road, our role play is the same way that our fans backed us up with the extra guys and got them moving. It's the same thing is going to happen in Philly. So we just got to hope that we maintain our intensity and that, you know, I heard a lot of Knicks fans are traveling. So hopefully we get a nice feel and we hear a few New York chants in Philly. I doubt it, but we'll see what happens. Have a good morning, Matt.
You too, Val. Yeah, I heard the ticket prices were dropping in Philadelphia for game three in Philly. So we'll see. Maybe some Knicks fans will travel. Try and invade Philadelphia, make it sound a little bit like Madison Square Garden, which I've been talking about all morning, has now won four consecutive playoff games on four separate nights. And someone just tweeted at us, me and Fliegelman, giving us a little bit of insight into it. Now, it's not consecutive nights because there was actually a doubleheader on the first day, on a Saturday, April 11th, but the last time the Knicks and Rangers won four consecutive home playoff games was Saturday, Sunday, Monday, April 11th, 12th, and 13th, 1970, and both of them played on the same day that Saturday, April 11th. So they, on Saturday, April 11th, they both played at home and won. I'll double check. I mean, I'm assuming this is going to be accurate. I'm just going to go with it. Saturday, April 11th, both teams played at the Garden and won. And then Sunday, Monday, they each had one. So it's four consecutive. Does that make sense? Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Yeah. So one, two. Yeah. And then obviously one. Saturday, Sunday, Monday, 4-11, 12, and 13, 1970. So it's been a minute. It's been a minute since the Knicks and Rangers have gone 4-for-4 in consecutive days with home playoff games. I mean, that's as good as it gets. Rami in Levittown. What's up, Rami?
Hello. Good morning. Buenos dias.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm great. How about you?
I'm doing great on this Wednesday morning. Looking forward to it. Getting ready. Absolutely. We got a couple days without basketball and hockey, but we'll figure it out. We'll watch a little baseball later today.
Of course, yeah. The Yankees, I forgot to mention, first-time caller and brand-new listener.
Oh, well, thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. Yeah, I appreciate you. I got you to dial the phone at 3:22. I appreciate you.
Yeah. So I wanted to ask, what are the chances of the Knicks winning the championship this playoff series?
What's the chance of the Knicks winning the championship this playoff series?
Yeah. I think.
Well, I don't know if they have much of a chance to win the championship this playoff series, but moving forward, hopefully.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, I was thinking earlier, the players are doing amazing, great. But what about the front office? Because, you know, over the past, I don't know, since maybe Carmelo Anthony left the team, there's always been, the front office is always getting bashed, But I feel now that we're here today, they're doing a pretty good job and definitely heading in the right direction.
And thank you for the call, Rami. Yeah, no, I mean, Leon Rose deserves a ton of credit building this team. I mean, just a ton of credit. It is not easy to build a team of, first he gets the Jalen Brunson signing. I mean, you can't be more right. I mean, the deal that Brunson has got, and the idea that now he's a superstar, the way he's played this season, I mean, that's an incredible signing. It's one of the great free agent signings in New York history. Not just Knicks history, in New York sports history. And then to surround him, to have Randall on the team, make the trade for Anunoby, which really set the team off into a different stratosphere this January. But, look at the moves he's made over the last... He signs Brunson. He trades for Hart. He brings in Hartenstein, trades for Anunoby. I mean, you can't be more right. Brings in DiVincenzo. You can't be more right. And I'm wondering if people are going to copy him in some way. I think it's probably a little overstated, but because it's such a fun story. But I wonder if other teams are going to copy in a little bit. If you have an opportunity to get players that have played together in college and won at a significant level, whether it's an actual championship or a Final Four appearance or multiple Final Four appearances, I don't know. But if you have an opportunity to get a couple of players that have experience in these moments and experience winning together, because I don't think there's any doubt the camaraderie, the understanding, the knowledge of each other, the history of playing and winning a championship together have made an enormous difference for this Knick team and the way they play together. But to have Leon Rose put together a team, it's one thing to bring in superstars, right? It's one thing to have the great players come to your team or get lucky enough and smart enough. I don't want to dismiss it as luck. I mean, drafting Jokic in the second round is a little bit luck, but drafting Giannis where they drafted Giannis, a little bit luck, but it's also foresight. But if you have the great players, you win, okay. To build a team with the players that he has brought here, knowing exactly how to fit the coach, and that's the other thing too. Like, he knows, and that's what I've said from the beginning with the Anunoby trade. When Anunoby gets traded here, and it instantly, from game one beating Minnesota, and it instantly transforms the team. That is not only having professional scouting and knowing how good a player can be, it's knowing how he impacts your team and knowing how he will be implemented by your coach and having a plan and having foresight. It's not just getting the great player. It's not just understanding how good a player can be, right? That's the Brunson. That's understanding how good Brunson is, underutilized in Dallas, can be a star if given the right opportunity. Okay, fine. The Anunoby trade, and that's great. Don't get me wrong. I don't mean to dismiss it that way. But the Anunoby trade, it's both recognizing how good Anunoby is, but how he transforms your team and how he will be implemented by your coach and how the pieces all fit together. And when it happens instantly, to me, that's stating a lot. And the teamwork between Rose and Thibodeau, it can't be understated. It just can't be. Because they're not the most talented team. They're just not. Watching this series, the two best players in this series so far, and listen, I'm not ready to say it will be the rest of the series, and I do think Brunson, right now at least, is probably, and had the better year than Maxey, but we're seeing how talented Maxey is. And so far in this series, the two best players reside in Philadelphia. But to put together a group that's tough, gritty, and that work with this coach, who still was voted, I saw the story, right? He was still voted by the players as one of the top three coaches that players don't want to play for. To find a group that works with him, understands him, that he can implement in his scheme to get the two seed inside the NBA when they still, inside the Eastern Conference, when they lose their second best player, getting to the second seed. It's a remarkable job. And coming from, and you mentioned after the Melo years, then it's the Phil Jackson years, which is probably, for me, the biggest disappointment in the last 20 years. In two decades of disappointments and bad hires, the Phil Jackson one is the most devastating to me. And it's the most puzzling. I know he's a coach who knew he never had any proof or anything that he could be a good executive, but I just assumed. I don't know. I just assumed that the greatest coach, arguably in history, with 11 titles, would be able to come here and put together a team. Instead, he signs Noah and, drafts Frank Ntilikina and just like, what the hell is going on here? And I don't blame ownership for that at all. I don't blame James Dolan for that at all. You go out and hire Phil Jackson. You went out and hired Phil Jackson. But it's been a disappointing go of it. But yeah, you want to talk about a front office that you have faith in. Forget about it. Right now, I know I'm a Brian Cashman guy, right? That's pretty much, if I were to die today, that's on my tombstone. And as much as I love Brian Cashman, right now I would tell you I have more faith in Leon Rose having a better offseason than Brian Cashman. How could you not? Leon Rose has been incredible. And to have that feel about this New York Knicks team that's been running to the ground for 25 years is pretty remarkable. 877-337-6666. Mick Monagle here with you. Continue to take your phone calls. Next on the Fan, but we do have to talk about the New York Giants and how I believe they're going to make my dreams come true. Can't wait.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Here comes a throw home. He's going to be out at home. Oh, what a throw by Soto.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 3:35. Mick Monagle here with you. So I got to tell you, today was awful sleep. Awful. Kids were home from school, which means no sleep for daddy. Daddy can't sleep in the middle of the morning and afternoon when the kids are home from school. Can't do it. Can't do it. They're running around. I don't blame them. They're trying to be good, but they're running around. They're kids. My wife took him out for a little bit, but there's just, thankfully, she was home. There's nothing you could do. I knew I wasn't going to sleep. So I'm tossing and turning. I hear them, downstairs yelling, "Oh, tell you why. Don't you? I want to play hockey." Whatever else they're shouting. And I roll over and I pick up my phone for a little bit because sometimes I'll either try and read something or I'll get up and wash my face to try and go back to bed. Something just to break up the rolling around in bed trying to fall back to sleep. And then I saw it. Now, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what the Giants are going to do come Thursday evening. But Jordan Renan is reporting. And it's kind of been everywhere. And I've talked about the idea that the New England Patriots have literally told everyone they're open for business. Now, I know open for business means they're not going to just take anything. And it's going to take an enormous package to move up to the third. But when someone tells me they're open for business, to me, I believe them. And for the first time, someone else has acted and reported on it too. And this was what I've been waiting for. This is the report, and I'm going to choose to believe it. One, because I believe he's a good reporter. And two, it's because it's what I desperately want. So I'm going to choose to believe that the Giants are desperately trying to move up in this draft and trade up to the third spot to draft Drake May. This is the exact move I want. And it's pretty much the exact quarterback. It is the exact quarterback I want. I didn't believe in J.J. McCarthy. I suppose on some level I've been sold on J.J. McCarthy to an extent. But Drake May, to me, is the quarterback. Now, I know he's in the ACC. I know they just drafted a quarterback in the ACC a handful of years ago, and now I'm clamoring to move on from him. And we understand the topsy-turvy nature and the crapshoot, to use everybody's favorite term when it comes to the draft, the crapshoot that is the NFL draft. But for me, Drake May and his arm strength, Drake May and his pocket presence, Drake May and what we hear of a little bit being the project quarterback reminds me of Josh Allen. The talk of Drake May entering this draft reminds me a little bit of the talk of Josh Allen. Inside a heavy quarterback draft, the project of the group. That's Josh Allen. And we know what Brian Daboll did with Josh Allen. I also saw Pat Leonard, who had a discussion with May, talking about his conversations with Brian Daboll and breaking down some New England film and what Tom Brady was doing and how much he enjoyed that and made him realize he would love to play in an offense like that. I think Daboll and May are the perfect fit. He has a year to sit and learn and watch Daniel Jones, who there is no way the Giants believe in. And if you believe in this report, at the very least, whether they're able and capable of moving up to the third spot, whether they have a competitive enough package or someone else blows them out of the water or New England just doesn't deem it worthy or whatever the case may be, even if they can't accomplish the goal, I do believe it's the goal. And if you believe it's the goal, then at least you understand that the Giants organization does have the buyer's remorse and understands that Daniel Jones is not the quarterback moving forward. Because that's just as it's secondary, but it's almost as important to me as drafting the quarterback is the understanding that you can't continue to have faith in Daniel Jones. And I think despite what Joe Shane says, I think we all understand that. And this report at least solidifies the idea that everybody understands it. Now, are there some reports that after giving him the contract, that trading away major draft assets to move up in the draft to select another quarterback is a tough sell for ownership, who probably has the same connection to Daniel Jones that they had with Saquon Barkley that made John Mara tear up and sick to his stomach when he saw that he signed with the Eagles? I'm sure there is some of that. We've seen the owner come out and publicly defend him and talk about how little they've done to help him, and that is all true. But it doesn't change where we are, and where we sit today is Daniel Jones cannot be the future of this organization. And once you know you don't have the future of the organization, you have to look for it. And I think May is the exact guy I want. He's the exact quarterback I want. He's the project strong arm pocket presence quarterback that I believe this coach can get the most of. The athleticism, the arm strength, the project nature, the mistakes he makes, the poor decisions he makes, those are all the things this coach can coach out of him. And I think it's the perfect spot to give him a year and let him thrive. It might be the best spot for May, too, as opposed to being thrusted right into a starting role. I think it's a match made in heaven. It's exactly what I want. And if the Giants are capable of moving up in this draft, whether it be third or fourth, wherever it may be, if they can find a way to get May to team with Brian Daboll, that is exactly my dream for this New York Giants draft. And that report is exactly what I wanted to hear 2 days before. Now, I don't know if they're going to be able to do it. And I think if you're looking at how the Giants feel, I think you get an idea here. And at the very least, it means they're competent and they understand what's going on here. But this is how the Giants are going to treat this draft. I firmly believe the report, and I think this is how we can all kind of anticipate what the Giants are going to do. I do believe the Giants are trying very hard to move up in the draft and take a quarterback. I think May is the great decision. It could be another quarterback. But I think they're going to try and trade up because they recognize Daniel Jones isn't the future. But they do have a limit on what they're willing to give up. And we understand the tax, especially in this heavy quarterback draft, to move up to a third, especially a New England team that has all these holes and has a quarterback hole themselves. And if they are going to pass up on filling their quarterback hole and figuring out who their quarterback is of the future, they're going to want an enormous draft package. I think the Giants are going to try. I think the Giants have a line in the sand eventually, as all teams do. And I think they're comfortable taking whomever at six, whether it be the quarterback they like or one of the quarterbacks they like, or whether it being a wide receiver, an offensive lineman, whoever. I think it would mainly be it would be a wide receiver. I don't think they're going to trade back. I really don't. I understand the idea. I think you need great players. I don't care. This idea that you're going to fill all your holes with all these draft picks, it sounds wonderful. Hey, I've got all these holes. How do you build through the draft? Oh, give me as many draft picks as possible, and I'll just fill them all with starters because I'm just this unbelievable draft guy. To quote Dave Gettleman, I don't think you mess around. I don't think you play games. When you have a sixth pick and you know you are either getting a franchise quarterback, if you feel that way, and I would believe Brian Daboll in feeling that way more than most coaches, or you're getting what everybody believes to be a stud wide receiver. You're guaranteed one of those guys at the top. You're guaranteed at six to either get a quarterback or a number one wide receiver. Why would you mess that up trying to trade back for more picks later in the draft where you could make mistakes? I don't care how many holes you have. Great players are what build this league. Great players are what produce winning. So I think that's how the Giants are going to handle this. They're going to, option A, do whatever you can to trade up within reason, or at least within what you're willing to do to get a quarterback, which for me would be a lot. My tolerance for pain and what I'm willing to give up to get this quarterback is pretty high. But we'll see what the Giants is. But that's plan one. And then plan two is hope a quarterback that you believe in falls to you at six, and then plan C is to then take the wide receiver if no quarterback falls at six. I don't believe in the game of drafting, of trading back. I would be willing to then trade back into the top end of the first and getting either the Bo Nixes of the world or one of the quarterbacks in the back end. If, like, say a Penix is still there, I think a Bo Nix certainly would be, like, I would be into, I think you could see that. But I do believe these reports. I do believe the Giants recognize that no matter how many holes you have, you have to fill the quarterback one first, and they do have a hole at the quarterback position. And I think they'll convince ownership, and I think they're trying like hell to do it. And that's exactly what they should do. But either way, they're going to come away with a great player at six, and they're probably comfortable in that scenario. So it's pretty simple. Daniel Jones is not the guy. They know it. They need a quarterback. They know it. They're doing everything they can to get the guy they believe in. And if not, they'll draft one of the three wide receivers. I think that's where the Giants draft is. 877-337-6666. And God, please, 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 please. And we might not find out till draft day. We probably won't find out until a minute, a couple minutes before the pick. Right? I think I was reading Art Stapleton. He was talking about how Accorsi didn't know he was going to pull off the Eli Manning trade until a few minutes while he was still on the clock with the fourth overall pick. So this could be a game-time decision, but I firmly believe that the Giants get it, that Brian Daboll and Joe Shane get it, that they need their Josh Allen in a Giants uniform, and Drake May is just the guy. I'm pumped. I was pumped to see that story. I didn't need to go back to sleep. I can live on fumes. It's okay. I mean, my head hurts, and I'm not sure which direction my eyes are going, but I feel pretty confident about what I want the Giants to do in the draft. 877-337-6666. Jake and Syosset. What's up, Jake?
C-Mac, my brother. How are you?
Good. Jake, my brother from Syosset. What's going on?
I got a draft point, Jets point, and a Samba point. So I want to give you my Jets and Giants picks.
Yes.
Since both teams are picking, you know, they're both picking the top 10. So let's get it started. Jets are going to shock the world, C-Mac. They're going to trade up to number 4 with the Cardinals.
No, they're not.
Giving up 3 first-round picks. And taking my boy Marvin Harrison Jr.
I'm hoping, I'm praying. I do not think they will do that. I don't think they would do that. I mean, 3 number one picks to move up. I mean, listen, I hope you, as a Giant fan, one, he's the best wide receiver of the bunch, right? He's the best wide receiver prospect, and you got an opportunity to pair him up with Aaron Rodgers. I'm the one telling you it's all about this year, not the future. So it's hard for me to just hate that trade. I just, at 10, and considering how many quarterbacks might go off, it seems a little far-fetched to me. But hey, as a Giant fan, if they don't pull off the trade at 3, I hope you pull off that trade at 4 and take a wide receiver. Please do it.
Fair enough. I got the Giants taking J.J. McCarthy. You may not like that pick.
Mm-hmm. At 6, I think it's possible.
Route. I got the Jets taking Jordan Travis out of Florida State in the 4th round. Hopefully take over Rodgers when he retires. And, you know, the fact of the matter is Joe Douglas might not get every pick right, right? Mm-hmm. But remember, knockouts don't matter if you get enough jibs. So he's got to hit those 5th and 6th round picks to fill the roster. Now, that's the main thing.
No, well, I mean, yeah, you got that's where a lot of your team is built, in those 3rd, 4th, 5th rounds.
So I want to get something off my chest for what you Jet hater. I think Marco's a Jet fan, right? He's there.
You know what? I'm not sure. I don't think he is. No, he's a Giant fan.
Oh, he's not.
No, Marco's a Giant fan. I'm a Giant fan. Fliegelman on the other side is a Jet fan.
Fliegelman's the man. All right, so listen to me. All you Jet haters out there.
Yeah, all you Jet haters out there.
Listen to this, guys, all right? The Jets are primed for an historic season.
Yeah.
Like, I bleed Jet Green every single day, C-Mac. This is not the same old Jets.
You bleed every day? Are you okay?
Aaron freaking Rodgers. Let's go. We have Garrett Wilson. Let's go.
You do. Who else do you have, Jake?
We have Breece Hall. And you know what, C-Mac? We're going to get Marvin Harrison Jr. This is our year.
Your year. Let's go. Right. I'm with you.
Yeah. C-Mac, also, I just want to touch on in the past week, 2 NFL prospects actually passed away. I just want to reach out to them. A.J. Simon from University of Albany. I just want to send my condolences to his family, friends, and all his teammates. And also another player, he's actually a connection with me, my brother Charlie. He went to school with his mother at culinary school. She's like renowned for her chicken noodle soup. Lane Train Canova at college. I just want to send my respects, my love to his mother, who I know well. My brother knows her very well. And they set up a GoFundMe page at GoFundMe.com/Canova10. C-Mac, I love you, and take care.
Yeah, I mean, again, I think that's this Canova thing that was a Jet Twitter thing, right? Is that... Someone tried to give me this Canova thing. He was a prospect that I expected the Jets to draft and stuff. Or, you know, so I don't know if Canova's real. I know the first prospect was, and they are setting up a GoFundMe page, but I don't. Let's just go with his original point about the Jets. And I do think it's going to be a big year for the Jets. I do. I think Aaron Rodgers is going to have a great year. I think you should be pumped as Jet fans. You should. Now, I don't know about moving up all the way to 4. You're going to have to give up a ton. And the way things are breaking out right now, I mean, you did go out and get Mike Williams. You have Garrett Wilson. Now, if you could get Marvin Harrison Jr., sure, it'd be incredible. But are you willing to give up that kind of package for a wide receiver when you know that you're going to have, I mean, you're going to have a decent chance at 10 to get an offensive weapon? Because we're talking about at least 4 quarterbacks going in the top in front of you. At least 4. I would think someone takes Alt And you could see all three wide receivers go before you, but you know that, you know, Brock Bowers is going to be there for you at 10 probably. Like, I just don't think they're going to give up that many assets to go get a third wide receiver. As much as I think you're looking for weapons, I agree. I just think that's probably going to be an enormous package to move up to 4 from 10 to take Marvin Harrison. I think that would shock the world. But I do think they're pretty damn good. 877-337-6666. I think they're probably more likely to sit at 10. Considering what they've already done in free agency. I think they want as many picks as they can still have. I think they know they're going to get a player at 10, considering how many quarterbacks are going to be drafted in front of them. I think they've revamped the offensive line in free agency. They added another wide receiver in free agency. I think they're comfortable with either Bowers or if Alt falls to them, drafting him. They can go a myriad of ways. And there's a chance one of the three wide receivers is still there at 10. 877-337-6666. But the Giants, to me, it's still the more interesting. I've talked more Jets than anybody. I love Aaron Rodgers. I'm pumped for the year. I am certainly, although I am a Giant fan, I am not a Jet hater. I am pumped for this season. I've been behind the Jets since they've got Aaron Rodgers. I said it last year. I'll say it again this year. The Jets are going to the AFC Championship game. I firmly believe this could be a great year for the Jets. But for me, this draft right now, it's about what happens at the top. It's about where the quarterbacks go. And then the rest of the draft will take care of itself. And I think the Jets have put themselves in a position with their roster and what they did in the offseason where they could go a myriad of ways where they truly can be what most teams want to be. And that's just live and die by their board. They'll have their board, and whatever player is the best and highest on their board come the 10th pick, they'll take. I think that's where they've put themselves with how they handled the offseason and the aggressive nature they went about it. The Giants, I don't think that have that luxury. Hopefully the quarterbacks are at the top of their board, but I think they have to go out in this market with this many good quarterbacks, with the uncertain nature of Daniel Jones and the duo that drafted and developed Josh Allen, and that's what got them this job. It's a perfect storm to go draft a quarterback. And I'm choosing to believe in this world of complete misinformation and teams lying to this one and half-truths to that one and throw off this team with this information, and it's impossible to know what's coming and going this time of year with the NFL draft, but I choose to believe this report from Jordan Renan. I do think the Giants are moving heaven and earth to try and move up to the 3 spot and take that third pick from the open-for-business New England Patriots and draft Drake May and move forward with the combination of May and Abel. That's what I want. That's my dream, and it's 2 days away. Get it done.